embrace that.
Amen. It's been said, and I'll say it again. It needs to be said again. Thank you. Thank you for the meals. Thank you for the hospitality. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the prayers.
Yes.
Thank you for this opportunity. And thank you for the refreshing. Just being here has been refreshing. Every time I come to San Antonio, I get a blessing. What a blessing.
Yes. Amen.
And those of you who have worked so diligently and so hard to provide meals every day and then clean up afterwards and straighten up the chairs, and thank you.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say. Thank you. The Lord has a reward for people that serve Him.
That's right.
He said that if somebody would just give a cup of water in the name of a disciple, he wouldn't lose his reward. And reward is part of what we work for. I believe in serving God because I love Him. But He also told me to work for the reward. He encourages me to work for the reward. And I am looking for the reward. Amen.
Amen.
And Donna mentioned it, and I'm going to say a special thanks to Adrian Silva.
Amen.
I had started the work in Luis Moya, and right after we started it, we got the confirmation that the doctor was coming, and the time he was coming was the weekend that you had the 50th anniversary party here, which is just before we were coming up for the mission conference. And I could not in good conscience leave Luis Moya after doing an evangelistic outreach and just walk away from it and leave it sitting there.
Yeah.
And Adrian said, I'll take care of it. I said, well, brother, thank you, but I can't expect you to do that for 4 weeks in a row. He said, no, Eddie, I want to. He said, I want to be a part of this. He said, I want some of the reward from this work.
Amen.
I have a high regard for Adrian, and I want to thank him very dearly. And if you think of him, pray for him.
Yes.
He said he met in the park on Wednesday, and he got rained out, had to move inside the locale, and said he was by himself. But praise the Lord, number one, for rain. Number two, he was there.
Amen.
And I think that's important.
Yeah.
I am trying to establish a presence that they know, okay, there's a gospel preacher, there's somebody there, and I know where I can find him.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think that's something important and something that needs to be done.
Amen.
And I appreciate that. Many of you may remember Marco Palacios, the pastor of one of the churches in Zacatecas. He asked me to send his salutations and greetings to everybody and his love. And also Ramiro Garcia, especially to you, Billy. He talks a lot about you. Amen. Met some faithful brothers there. I met some faithful brothers here. I have enjoyed the last couple of years going to their men's conferences and listening to some of them preach. And I have heard preachers from around the world at different places and some good ones. And these guys are just as good as any place else I've been. Top-notch preachers. Heard some preachers here from Poland. Top-notch preachers. Yes, I appreciate you, Jack. I appreciate hearing a Polish preacher that can preach good. That's just, it's not just what we hear all the time or what we're used to. There are some people that don't own a suit and they're preaching on the streets better than some of the best preachers I've heard in this country. That's true. You may think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. They're good preachers.
Amen.
They're worth your support. They're worth your prayers. I know that on the prayer list, there is a request for the elders in the Mexican churches. Please remember them.
Yeah.
As you think about them, I know that on the prayer list, they mention different sister churches at times. Please remember them. Those people are fighting just like we fight.
Yeah.
They've got Satan on their backs just like we have. They've got the same problems everybody else has. They need our prayers, and they're worth praying for. So are those churches worth praying for.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're here to honor you, to rededicate our lives to serving you. And I pray that you would bless this meeting. Give me the right words to speak. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. They operated on my eyes and I don't know what I can see now. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And it has a question. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that man should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. I want to speak this evening three basic points. God is doing a work, and he is doing a work. God includes us and has made us to work, and God will require a reckoning. It says in verse 11 that he has set the world in our hearts that we might not understand the work that he's doing from the beginning to the end. I thought about that. God is doing a work. Thought about the work that God is doing. It says that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Amen. And that God was in the world reconciling the world unto himself. This is the work of God.
Amen.
Says the old prophets, the old time prophets wanted to look into, they inquired into what was going on. What was God doing? Said the angels even want to look into what God is doing. And I was thinking about that work that God is doing, this reconciliation he's doing, and what a wonderful, beyond my understanding, work it is. God created everything. And in that creation, there is a devil and there are holy angels. Why? I don't know. I don't understand. And then he puts man on the earth. And he allows man to fall into sin. Why? I don't know. I don't get it. Seems like he could have done it another way. I think every time I think about it, I probably would have come up with a better way to do it. But God didn't. Best I can come up with is, for some reason, God has decided back in eternity in his plan that he was going to create a new creature, a sinful man who decides by hearing the gospel, by hearing the light of God, by hearing the message from God, by hearing something that God touches his heart, who decides, I want to serve God.
Amen.
And he tries to walk away from sin. He chooses to love God while he's pulled towards sin. He chooses to love God and serve God while he's pulled the other way, while Satan is trying to kill him, while things are trying to drag him down. But he's constantly trying to give up, get up and go on and say, I want to serve God. He fails often, miserably sometimes, just an absolute wreck of his life at times. And he gets up, says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. He gets up and says, Lord, I want to love you.
Amen.
I want to praise you. I want to serve you. I want to walk with you. Makes an interesting comment in Ephesians that he's talking about the Jew and the Gentile, those that had God, those that had the law, and those that had nothing. He said, make of them both twain one new man. He says in Corinthians that he's making, that if we're in Christ Jesus, we're a new creature. Now, I don't understand that. Why would God want somebody who's a failure? But he wants somebody who was a failure and chose to serve God. I don't get it. I can't explain it. But that's the work of reconciliation. That's what he's doing. He's creating a new creature in Christ Jesus of sinners, of vagabonds, of ungodly people, wicked people, changing them so that they love God. That's what he said. God is doing a work. He's done it in our lives. It was preached about tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, talk to me, talk to Joshua, talk to some of these other men here. There's a lot of men here who would love to take the time. Just open a Bible and show you. If you're a woman, you don't want to talk to a man, you've got my wife, you've got Debbie here, you've got several people who would love to take their time. Open a Bible and say, see, this is what God said. You know the only difference between me and the sinner I used to be? God said if I would call, he would save.
Amen.
That's the only difference.
Yep.
Amen. I called. I believed that.
Amen.
And I called one night.
Yeah.
He saved my soul.
Yes.
And I remember distinctly shortly after that day, I was thinking, man, this is a story that needs to be told to everybody. I need to be telling people the gospel. This is something that they need to hear. They still need to hear it. And I still want to tell it. And I'm trying. That's my job. It's what I'm trying to do. But it also says here, in this passage, you look at it, you get to understand something. You see this also all the way through Ecclesiastes. God says that he made us workers. He gave us a job to do and told us to enjoy the labors that we have in this life. One of the things that tells me, and you can go back and you can see this throughout Scripture, is that God made us to work. We're workers. We may not be worker bees, but we're workers. We're supposed to be workers. Look what it says in verses... Twelve and 13. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. Enjoy the good of all his labor? It is the gift of God. You read that several times in Ecclesiastes. What's good for you? God gave you a job. God gave you a career. God gave you something to do. Enjoy it. Put your effort into it. Put some energy into it. Learn how to do it well. Be good at it. And enjoy it. Rejoice in it. Go home and rejoice in it. Enjoy it with your family. Support your family. Take care of it. God expects every one of us to be workers. We're not supposed to be thieves. We're not supposed to be doing everything else. God didn't expect us to sit around and be live lives of leisure. Even for those of us who are retired, unfortunately. I'm stuck. We're supposed to be workers. Remember what he told Adam? I want you to till and take care of the Garden of Eden. That was Adam's job. He had a job. Created by God, living in the best place in all the world, having all the food he wanted at all times. But he was supposed to take care of it. We're workers. Look with me, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself.
Amen.
Not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's the work of God. Then it says, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Amen.
The main thing I want to talk about tonight, we have a job to do. We have been given a ministry. We've been given a task. The ministry of reconciliation. We as God's workers ought to be doing something about it. Interesting, some of the things that, and I know I've been there. There have been a lot of times when I wasn't doing what I should be doing. I wasn't being a witness. I wasn't going out and serving. I have done and I haven't done. I have times when I haven't done anything. I am without excuse. But the fact of the matter is, God said he committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
We have a job to do.
Yeah.
And it's not just one time.
Right.
Many times he makes that point to us. You have a job to do. I've given you a job to do. What did he tell the disciples? Go ye. Matthew, go ye. In Mark, go ye. In John, he says, so send I you. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. We've got work to do. He told them in Luke that this gospel must be preached in all the world. He told them in Acts, said, go into Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. You've got a job to do. I have a job to do. I can't sit and do nothing.
Amen.
It would be really nice, I think, I know, I really don't think this. It comes across to a lot of us that it would be really nice if I could just sit back and give money and they go. I'm sorry, that's not good enough. I appreciate your money. I appreciate the support everybody sends me. Whoever sends me money, I appreciate it. I'm not knocking it, okay? I believe that's proper and it's good. I support missionaries. But God doesn't need your money. Interesting, God wants your mouth. God wants your mind. God wants you talking. God wants you sharing. God wants you telling other people the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. He also says in another place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think it's 15, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Are you ashamed? There are a few times I can say that I'm ashamed that I didn't tell some neighbors, some people around me. And sooner or later, you got to take a stand and make a decision. Okay, I'm going to get off my lazy bottom and get up and do something. I don't know what you can do. I look around for things that I can do. I can make suggestions. I have been a part of this church. I have knocked on doors. I have visited. I have preached. I've preached on the street. I remember one time I went out to preach on the street in front of the Alamo. And literally, it had been a while, and my knees were knocking together. I don't have that problem now. I do pretty good. But you can go up and down your street. You say, my husband don't want to do anything. Well, find a good friend from the church, and one week you take your street, and another week you take a street in her neighborhood, and you just keep going. Find something to do.
Amen.
It is amazing to me, this idea. God is doing a work that I do not comprehend, I do not understand, I cannot fathom why he would do it the way that he did it, and yet he's invited us, he's tasked us, he wants us to be a part of that work. My point tonight, and I may not make it very well, I hope I do. Can I offer you a job in the ministry of reconciliation? Would you do something? I remember the first time that I got the call to go to Mexico, back in the 80s. That's back before some of you were born. I understand that, okay? Adrian Silva and Joe Benedetti had moved to Lagos de Moreno, Jalisco. And Joe got sick. And he just had to leave. And Adrian sent out a call, said, I don't know what to do, but if I can get a partner, I'll stay. And somebody announced it here. I think we're in the other building. And the Lord touched my heart. At the time, I had gotten out of the Army. I had worked a little over a year for Mike Jackson. And you want to know how to get worn out? Work for a year for Mike Jackson. And he was getting ready to go back to Mexico. He had been here for a while and was on his way back to Mexico to go back to be a missionary there. So I was looking for a job. Had no thought about Mexico. But the Lord touched my heart and said, Eddie, I got a job for you.
Amen.
Would you be willing to do this job? Man, I've been running plate with Mike Jackson. Literally running. Top of a 3.5-inch board. And we're running from one end to the other. Carrying trusses and everything else. Dangerous work if you're on it. Eddie? I didn't fall, but I quit too. I quit running. I didn't quit the job. I quit running. But I was looking for a job. Starting to put in applications, think of where I could go. Do I go get another carpenter's job? Do I do this? Do I do that? What am I going to do? And the Lord said, Eddie, here's a job. Would you be willing to do it? And I said, yes, Lord. I would be willing to do that. And Don and I took off. And we were in Lagos de Moreno with Adrian for 2.5, almost 3 years, till we had preached on every street in that town. Lord didn't open a door for us. I understand that there's a church there now. But I enjoyed preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Lord led us back after that time. And I went into a different career. Retired. But always had a desire to go back to Mexico. And a few years ago, the Lord led me to go visit a pastor in Fresnillo, Zacatecas. While I'm driving that highway, kept seeing these signs for cities, villages, out in the desert. And I don't know why, but the question came to me, Eddie, who's taking them the gospel? I don't blame missionaries for going to the biggest towns where there's the most chance of reaching people because there's more people there. But the Lord put it on my heart to go where there's not much of a chance. So that's what I've been doing. So I'm a little bit different. I don't mind being different. What are you doing? God gave me this portion, if you will, of the ministry of reconciliation. I don't have a problem preaching in a big town. I've preached in Durango and I've preached in Aguascalientes and I've been invited to preach in León and again in another church in Aguascalientes, and if I get a chance I will go. I have preached on the streets in Zacatecas and different colonias with the church there in Zacatecas trying to encourage them. I've tried to take some of their preacher boys out with me and teach them how to preach and evangelize. I am willing to do it. I don't have a problem doing it. I know where God sent me. Has God sent you? Are you willing to look at the task that God has called you to do?
Yeah.
And just step up and say, Lord, I'll do it.
Yep.
I don't have all day. I've got a full-time job. I know there are brothers in this room right here tonight. I've been visiting with them. I've gone out with them. They would be glad to have a partner just to go somewhere and knock on a door and try.
Amen.
Just try. Yep. Just open your mouth and say, I'm here to share the gospel. Would you just listen? Let me show you what the Bible says about this.
Amen.
God wants to save your soul.
Amen.
And that's my job. That's your job. Suggestions? Find a partner. Somebody who maybe you can get one night a week. Pick a neighborhood. I know that man started on a lot of different neighborhoods. He didn't know what he was doing.
No, he didn't.
You don't know what you're doing? That's all right. That's all right. I guarantee you, you knock on about 30 doors, you're going to have a little bit better idea what you're doing. You know how you learn to do a job? You do it.
Yep.
If you've got a manual, you read it first. We have a manual.
Yep. Yep.
If you've got instructors, talk to them. You've got instructors. There are instructors in this room. Four elders in here, one getting ready to leave. There's a few missionaries in here who'll be glad to take a few hours with you and talk to you about what they do and how they do it and why they do it. You have a job. What you need to do is do it. He said, go and preach. Messed up all my notes. I don't know where I'm at now. He said, go ye. He said, preach. When I was in Lagos de Moreno, one of the reasons that I ended up coming back was because my voice just, I had lost it. Literally had. Had over-preached it, overused it, overextended it. Didn't know how to take care of it. And I just couldn't preach on the street anymore. So when I went back this time, I went to visit John in Puebla, see what they were doing, watch them do it. You know, you're going back, I got to learn how to do this. So I went and watched somebody who knew what he was doing. I think he knows what he's doing. And I tried to preach on the street, and my voice gave out pretty quick. And I thought, okay, well, that's all right. I can knock on doors. I can share the gospel. I can do that. So I started in the first town, and I went through the first town about a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, maybe longer. Town of about 1,100 people, and I knocked on the doors, every single door that I could get to, tried to witness, moved on, got to another town a little bit further down the road, and I'm knocking on doors, trying to talk to people, and the Lord said, preach. But Lord, you know I lost my voice. You know I've been afraid of this. And the next day, I'm standing on that street knocking on doors, and he said, Eddie, I want you to preach. Okay, Lord. And I've been preaching ever since.
Amen.
Lord has helped me with my voice. He's helped me to control it, moderate it, guard it, be careful with it. And I am amazed.
Yeah.
I'm on the park in Luis Moya. And they hear me all the way across the park, around the corner.
Praise the Lord.
I hear it bouncing off the buildings all the way at the other side of the park. I don't understand why. I'm not any louder than I've ever been. But the acoustics are good.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Started meeting, it's just me and Donna. And we sing, and I have problems right now. If I sing a lot, then I can't preach a lot. But I gotta sing. And I was reading something about John Wycliffe. Something he told his Lollards, his preachers to do. He said, just don't always preach the gospel, teach the Bible. Teach the Bible. So I decided, well, on Sunday mornings, I teach Romans. I think I'm in the fourth chapter going into the fifth chapter of Romans. I stand up and we have an open meeting, and we have on Sunday mornings, we have a Lord's Supper. We try to, and there's people in the park. Sometimes they're drunk, sleeping it off. Sometimes they're just there. So we have our open meeting, we praise the Lord, we sing, and I teach. And I'm going through Romans. The whole park hears me. On Wednesday nights, we have an open meeting, and I teach, and I'm teaching Ephesians. Then we have a prayer meeting, and we go home. I want to get the gospel to them. I enjoy teaching Romans and Ephesians. There's a lot of gospel there. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We've been resurrected with Christ. We're seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
It's not for all the lost, but it is a blessing for all of us. I can preach the gospel.
Amen.
And that's my intent. What can you do? You have a job. You have a task. God made us to be workers. He gave us a job to do. He said we have the ministry of reconciliation. We need to go and we need to do it. I was thinking about this. He told Paul, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Go, preach, and do.
Amen.
Go, preach, and do. It's really not hard. Sometimes it's harder to stand up here in the mission conference and preach when I've got all these other good preachers around than it is to stand up on a street corner when nobody's listening to me. But then sometimes it's really hard to stand up on a street corner when there's nobody there and everybody thinks, what's that idiot doing? Because that's what I think. What's that idiot doing? I really don't think I'm an idiot. I really think I've got something worth preaching.
Amen.
I really think I've got something to say. And I have been rebuked and advised and reminded this mission conference about being sometimes coming off as obnoxious. Oh, I don't want to be that. But not being caring or not being sufficiently humble, if you will, thinking I'm somebody special. We can all learn from each other.
Amen.
But we still need to go.
Yep, yep.
That's what it says. Not everybody can go where I'm at. Somebody wants to come join me, I got a slot. I'll put you to work. Where does God want you? That's basically the question. It's what it boils down to. God told Brian, go to Poland. Amen. Where has he told you to go? Because he's got some place for you to work.
Yeah.
Paul made a comment that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. How does that fit spiritually? If you don't do your work, are you going to dry up because God doesn't feed you? I don't know. I mean, God is merciful. He is extremely merciful. One of the things I thought about, there is going to be a reckoning. During one of the morning meetings, I think it was Corey, was reading about Asa. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 2, it says that Asa took all the gold and silver out of the house of the Lord. It reminded me of a thought I've had many times. How dare he? It wasn't his money. It wasn't his wealth. It wasn't his riches. It had been dedicated. The chapter before, it had been dedicated to the Lord, been dedicated by his father and by his people, and they'd put it in the house of the Lord, and he goes back and he takes it back out. He robs God so he can have a better life, so he doesn't have some of the problems that's going to come his way. I thought of how much God has given us.
Amen.
And we sit on it. We spend the comfort and the ease and the repose and the rest that God has given us in this life, knowing I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to go to hell, I've got all my sins forgiven, and we don't tell anybody because we sit on it and we squander the wealth that God put in our hearts, put in our lives. That may not be a valid application of that verse, but it always bugs me. He just went in and took God's money. He just took it away. Lord, I've got a better use for this than you do. That scares me. That scares me. I don't want to take what God has given me and squander it.
Amen.
I've done a lot of squandering. I'm guilty. I don't want to squander it anymore. If I've got it, God's welcome to it. If I have a voice, I'll preach. When I don't have a voice, I'll knock on doors. If I have a way to teach people, I'm going to try and teach them. If I have a way to encourage them to follow Jesus Christ, I'm going to try and encourage them. God has given me a task. God has given me a job. He's given everyone in this room a job. If you're born of the Spirit of God, if you've been born again, if Jesus Christ has given you eternal life, if he's forgiven you of your sins, you have a task.
Amen.
What are you going to do about it? Another thing that has come up, loving the people we're talking to. Compassion. Man. I'm so cold-blooded, without compassion, it seems. I mean, I try to be compassionate. I do care. I really do. But after a while, you get tired of people saying, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't read it. It's not important to me. Why isn't it important to you? And you get cold. You get a little jaded. I would like to be able to lose that jadedness, that coldness.
Amen.
I want to love those people. And I really do. One of the thoughts I've had for several months, 1 John chapter 4 talks about the love of God, that we love him because he first loved us. It makes an interesting comment. It says, if you don't love your brother, whom you can see, how can you love God, whom you don't see? There is a relationship between how I treat my neighbor, how I treat my brother, how I treat the people around me, how I treat those that God has died for, and my love for God. I need to work at my love for them. I need to work at my compassion for them. Because I do want to love God. I want to serve God because I love him.
Amen.
I do serve him for rewards. I have no qualm or no shame in saying that I serve God for reward. I'm looking for reward. But I also want to serve God because I love him, because he's worthy of everything I've got if I got nothing from him for reward.
Amen.
He's worthy of my love. He's worthy of my service.
Amen.
But for some reason, if you don't love your brother, how can you love God? We need to come up with the understanding that we have to love our brother. We are our brother's keeper. We are the people that are taking the, we have a task to love them so that we can share the gospel with them in such a manner that they see the love of God emanating from our lives. They see the life of God, the image of God portrayed in our lives so that they know there is a Savior who really cares about them and wants them to be saved and wants them to go to heaven. He wants to give them eternal life. He wants to forgive them. He wants to make them part of His creatures.
Amen.
I need to love them. We need to love them.
Yeah.
Wow, what a thought.
Amen.
I love God. But that requires me to love sinners. That requires me to love people. That has required me to practice learning a different language. And man, I learned it as a child. But I'm still learning. The last thing I want to mention tonight, verse 15 of our text. It says something interesting. That which hath been is now. And that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. There is a day of reckoning coming. What you've done or not done is going to face judgment. He says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done in our bodies. And he says all of our works are going to be tried by fire. Hay, wood, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. What are you going to be left with? You see, we are workers. We are supposed to be working at something. We're supposed to be doing something. We're supposed to be accomplishing something. We're supposed to be putting our effort into something. What are you going to have left? I know that one of the things I'm looking forward to, I want, I desire, I pray for, I search for, those precious stones, those jewels. Peter talks about lively stones, spiritual people that have been redeemed and God has put into His church, His building, His temple as stones. And I think lively stones are much prettier, much more precious than those precious stones. That's what I want.
Amen.
I'm looking for that. Part of my reward, part of my glory, my desire. It's my work. I have a task to do. This evening, I'm inviting you to step up. Lord, I'll go to work. I'll go to work. I don't know. I know there's a lot of people in here that are already working. I'm not trying to knock you. But I know in a crowd, there's some people who aren't doing what they could be doing.
Amen. 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 Amen.
And some of us are doing a little bit, but we could do a lot more.
Amen.
I know I serve a God that's more powerful than anything we understand. He says He has the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold and the silver is His. He doesn't need anything from any one of us. If God's calling you to be a missionary tonight, don't worry about the money.
Amen.
God will take care of that. If God wants you to be a missionary, He'll take care of it. 48 years ago, had the first mission conference. 10 people volunteered to go. Nobody failed to get there because of lack of money. They made it.
Amen.
Not everybody went. Some of them backed out for other reasons, whatever. I'm not here to judge them. I'm just saying God is not limited by the bank accounts that are inside this room. He can pour money in. He can just drop it in and take care of it.
Amen.
The testimony that I've heard from people in this church and from the history of this church, there have been people that just walk in the door, drop a check in for $100,000 and maybe come back once a year. God can do it. Are you willing to volunteer? I'll go. God talking to anybody here tonight?
Come on.
Is God saying, I want you to go? But Lord, I can't speak. Poor Pope, poor Moses. You can learn to speak. Got a man here who had a vicious stutter. He preaches on the streets now. He witnesses to people in a language that he didn't know growing up. I at least knew Spanish growing up. Got people of all sorts of capabilities, and you sit there and play tiddlywinks with your thumbs. God has a job for you to do. You know, I don't have an application form for you, but God does. Is God talking to you tonight? I don't know. I really don't. I am nobody special. I love Brian and Judy, but they're nobody special. Pastors in this church, you know what they are? They're servants. The deacons in this church, they're servants. The missionaries here, and I esteem them. I esteem them. I hold them in high esteem. They're just servants. The major difference between them and so many of us sometimes is that they said, I'll do the job. Lord, you got a job for me? I'll do it. That's the only difference. Anybody here willing tonight to say, Lord, whatever it is you want from me, I'll do it. I was created to be a worker. I was created to work. I was created to serve you. I was created and actually given a task defined as the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
Think about it. Give God your answer first. And He may tell you to wait. He may tell you to do it tonight. I don't know. That's between you and God. Mike, you keep moving your hand. I'm going to say you're volunteering. The whole point tonight is God has a task for you. He gave all of us the ministry of reconciliation. We need to make sure we're doing our part in that work.
Amen.
Amen.